Well, again, I ask for an interest in your prayers as we look at the Scripture. I'd like to turn to the 15th chapter of the book of Luke, and we'll take our message this evening from the parable of the prodigal son. There are a lot of things that you and I can do in this world. There are places we can go and things that we can see that in and of themselves aren't wrong. Many times when we have, in the years past, when I had my family with me, we would come here to this meeting. After we left, we'd make a swing back through the Smoky Mountains there in Gatlinburg, Pigeon Forge area, and spend a couple of days. And we spent our time usually back in the back roads, not down on the main drag, because that just didn't do much for us. We'd go to Cade's Cove, or we'd go on Back Mountain Road, or we would go to those, maybe a cave or places like that where the children could see some of God's creation, some of nature. And we built some real good memories. My children always enjoyed that, and they still speak about it today. We have a little place that we would go to along the river toward Cade's Cove. It's a great big rock. Had a kind of a flat top on it, and we could pull over that spot, and all of our children could all fit on that rock, and we'd have a picnic there. In my GPS unit, I have it saved as Picnic Rock, and anytime that anybody refers to that little area called Picnic Rock, we all know exactly what that is and where it is. A few years ago, my brother-in-law and his wife and daughter were with us, and nephew. We left here and we went back through that area and we took them to Picnic Rock. We showed them what Picnic Rock was. That's been a long time ago. A lot of things have changed. But the values and the principles that we've tried to instill in them, thank the Lord, it seems as though they've taken root and they embrace them and they try to live by them. And there are, I suppose that you could say, if you wanted to spend some time on the main strip there in Gatlinburg and Pigeon Forge and go ride go-karts or bumper cars or something like that, in and of itself, there's really not anything wrong with that. If I decided to ride a go-kart out of my place in the country, out there in the fields around, there's nothing wrong with me riding that go-kart out there. There's nothing wrong with me firing up that go-kart and having children ride around and make a makeshift track, which I've done before. I've done that with get out there with a lawnmower and make a trail, an area for them to ride on at their go-karts, and they enjoy that kind of thing. But what can tend to happen is as we go through life and the experiences of life, if we're not careful, we'll start adding to a little bit here and maybe a little bit there. And the next thing you know, I've got a situation on hand where it's not at all what I intended it to be originally. What I intended to be originally was an innocent situation, but once the door is opened and other things begin to attach themselves to it, it's hard to rein that in. We don't get to a place of sin necessarily overnight. Typically, there's a process that goes with that. We begin to entertain some thoughts or ideas. The enemy might come along and cause there to be something to pass through our mind. And if we're not on the job with our spirituality and walk with the Lord, we'll stop for a while and start to entertain that thing. If we don't cast it aside and make effort to push it off, it can find a little lodging place there. And if it finds a lodging place, if we're not careful, it'll start to put down some roots. The Scripture, talking about sin, it says, every man sins when he's drawn away of his own lust and enticed. And when lust has conceived, it brings forth sin. And sin, when it's finished, it brings forth death. There's a process that takes place there. I believe that's what took place in this young man's life with the prodigal son. So let's begin reading a little bit. Luke 15, chapter 11. Jesus said, a certain man had two sons. The younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. He divided unto them his living. That's probably one of the worst things that a parent wants to hear. In one way, you'd say it's wonderful because it's time for them to start getting on with life and taking advantage of their opportunities in life. But also, we know that it's a risky time because we've been down that same path. And we know that the temptations are there. We know that the potential is there to make bad decisions. I made plenty of them myself. But this young man went to his father and said to his father, give me the portion of the goods that fall to me. And he divided to them his living. Now, there wasn't anything wrong with this young man coming to his father and asking him for that portion that belonged to him. It was rightfully his. The custom of this time was for the young man to do that. The father was to anticipate that and be prepared for it. And when the time came for that young man to ask for his part of the inheritance, it wasn't to be a shock to the father. He was to be prepared for that time. Louisiana law, when you have considering heirs and heirship, there is a clause in the Louisiana law concerning the heirs of an estate that's called forced heirship. If there's not a will or there's not provision made for the dividing of the goods, then any one of the children on the decease of a parent, any one of the children or all can go to the surviving spouse, surviving parent, and say, I want my portion. And by law, they have to be given their portion. If it means selling the house or selling the estate for them to get their portion, by law, they have to be given their portion. I know of a case where a man lost his wife. She had been sick for a long time. She had been battling with cancer. She finally lost that battle to cancer. And not long after man's wife died, one of his sons came to him and said, Dad, I want my share of the estate. Now, you'd think that that's kind of cruel. But he said, Dad, I want my share of the estate. His father ended up having to sell his house to be able to pay off this young man, to pay off his son, to be able to give him his share of the estate. And his dad had to move on from that place. A very painful thing for his father to have to go through. And I could look at that and say, why would a man do that kind of thing? Why would you do that kind of thing to your dad? Well, there's a flip side to that. People don't always make the best decisions. I've known people that have lost a companion, lost a spouse, and from that point, things get very different in their mind. Things get kind of scrambled, and they go through a process of grieving, and maybe they don't go through it quite right, and the next thing you know, they found somebody out there that's showing them a little of attention, and And maybe they see that there's an opportunity to get some of the, this other person said, well, there's an opportunity to get some of an estate that I've never had before. And they get married, and the next thing you know, everything that the father has worked for, and the children have been on the farm maybe and worked for, is gone because that maybe these two don't get along and they divorce and the estate's broken up and I don't get anything out of it. So the law says for this child to be able to come to his parents and claim his portion if you haven't made provision otherwise. So this young man went to his father and said, I want the portion that's mine. And there wasn't anything wrong with him saying that or doing that or going to his dad and saying, I want my portion. And his father did it. And he gave those to him, those things that belonged to him. And I feel quite sure that this father, when he heard those words, and had probably even before that time, had spent some time laying up prayers and hopes and anticipations that my son will be successful, that he'll go out and he'll handle things wisely in life. It doesn't always happen that way. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey to a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. There wasn't anything wrong with him deciding it's time to move out of the house. There wasn't anything wrong with him deciding it was time to get his portion. There wasn't anything wrong with him moving away to another land, to another country. There wasn't anything wrong with him getting a job. But what had happened in this young man's life is he had started making incremental changes in his own mind of what he wanted to do in the future. I don't believe, we read on down in this and we find that after he had wasted his substance, the story goes on to tell us that he didn't have anything left and he joined himself to a citizen of that country. I don't have any food, I don't have anywhere to stay. And it says he went and joined himself, 15th verse, to a citizen of that country and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. At this time, folks, that's one of the lowest jobs you could ever have. To go into the field to feed the swine. So he would fain have filled his belly with a husk that the swine did eat, and no man gave to him. That's a bad place to be in, to be in a situation where one day you realize, I've wasted everything, and I would, if it was possible, I would get down in that trough with those pigs and eat the food that they're eating because I'm so hungry. I don't have enough to eat. I don't have a place to stay. But the only way that I can exist and subsist is to get, if I could just have some of the husk that they're eating. This young man didn't wake up one day and say, I want to go down and eat pig feed. That's not what happened. He didn't decide when he went to his father that day and said, Father, give me the portion of goods that befalls me because I want to go down to this land and eat pig slop. That's not what he said. That's not what was in his mind. But over a space of time, he allowed himself to be drawn into a place to where he let those things happen and he made incremental changes in his life. If we're not careful, folks, what can happen to us is as we begin to step out from under the protection of God's umbrella of love, we start making those kinds of small changes degree by degree. And the next thing we know, we're trying to carry around a load that we can't carry anymore. This is what happened to this young man. No man gave to him. When he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough to eat and to spare, and I perish with hunger. I don't have enough. Do you know this is something that we all ought to take consideration of? We heard last night about spirits and unclean spirits. And I wholeheartedly agree with the message and how that if we're not careful, those things that sound good, that seem good, and maybe even innocent in and of themselves, if I begin to open up my heart and my mind to just pursue that to the fullest extent, it can take me down a wrong path. I know a young man that it seemed like there was no moderation at all in his life. Whatever he did, it was wide open throttle. If he was going to have something, he was going to have the best. If he was going to have anything at all, it was going to be the best he could have, or he wasn't going to have it. And many times what happened along the way is somebody had to suffer so he could have his wants and desires. Those are the things that happen to people along the way. It's incremental. It becomes very selfish. And what would cause a man to do those kinds of things, to pursue his own desires, his own wishes, his own wants, and see his own children not be able to have the things that they need? Folks, you don't just wake up one day and say, this is the kind of person I want to be. It's not likely that a person just steps out one day and says, you know what? I think today I'm going to be a selfish brute. By degree, they end up incorporating those things in their lives, and they start to embrace those things and drag those things along with them until they become that type of person, a selfish brute. Until they become that type of person, if we start to toy with and mess with and play with and tinker with those things that are on some of the enemy's territory, if we're not careful, we'll soon be drawn down that path of unrighteousness and sin. The Lord has given to us all things richly to enjoy. The Scripture speaks to us about gluttony. It speaks to us about selfishness. It speaks to us about moderation and temperance. It says, let your moderation be known to all men. Be temperate. Those types of things, the Word of God teaches about those kinds of things. Do you know that I can take things, a simple thing such as food? I'm from the deep south, and I love good cooking. I love a good jambalaya. I love a good gumbo. I love a good fried chicken. I love those kinds of rich foods. I like those kinds. I like the spice. I like the flavor. I go places around the country sometimes, and I sit down to eat a meal, and it's kind of flat. It doesn't have the flavor that I'm used to down home. And that's all right. But do you know that I can take that one thing, that enjoyment of good, rich food, and turn that into something that can be a sin to me? I've known people to think that there's nothing they can think about except where's the next finest restaurant. That's the first thing on their mind. What's the finest restaurant? What's the finest dish? What's the finest food? And if I carry that, in and of itself, there's nothing wrong with me sitting down to a plate of good food. But if I carry that to an extent, I can find myself pushing, desiring, wanting those kinds of things so much that I become selfish about that, and I'm going to have that regardless of how you feel, regardless of what happens to you. I'll have my plate piled this high even if my child only gets a little bit. Those are the kinds of things that people can do because they choose to take things beyond normal, beyond natural, beyond moderation. This young man found himself in a situation like that, not because he woke up one day and said, I think it sure would be good to wallow with the pigs. But that's where he found himself, because he said, Father, give me my portion that belongs to me. Let me have my portion that falls to me. Let me go out and make my mark in the world. You know, there's a lot of times that that type of thing happens to us, and with son or daughter, we say, you know, I want you to be successful. Here's your portion. Here's what you've earned. Son, while we were here on this farm, you worked side by side with me. You plowed the ground. You harrowed the seed in. You brought in the hay crop. You were right there with me. We got dirty together. You worked hard. You sweat when I was sweating. And sometimes when I was tired and wasn't feeling well, you got out there and you rode that tractor all day whenever I couldn't. Son, I realize that you've done well for yourself. You've shown some discipline. Here's your portion. Now go on out from this day and do well with it. There's nothing more pleasing to a man than to be able to see his children go on in life and take the portion that's theirs and be successful with it. But there's also a lot of risk involved. Do you know that we can take those very things, those small things that seem to be so insignificant along the way, desire of happiness, desire of good, desire of food and raiment, in the desire of having the moderation and the temperance in those things, there's no sin in any of that. But when I come to the place of even with clothes, I've got to have the finest. I've got to look the best. I've got to look sharp. Those things can get in the heart of a man and cause him to be something that he wouldn't choose to be otherwise. Those things can get a hold of a person. When we start to indulge in some of the even most innocent things in an improper manner, the Lord looks at that kind of a thing and He sees where we are with those things and He sees how my heart responds and reacts to that. And if I'm not careful, those things that when in and of themselves would have no sin attached to them can become sin to me. That's why the Lord wants to have the right to deal with every one of us individually. You might look at me when I'm wanting to sit down to a good bowl of crawfish etouffee and say, I don't see how that man can eat that much crawfish etouffee. I don't see how. Why would he want to eat something that they dig up out of the ground? Why would they want to eat something that looks like that? You might look at that and say, why? Why? I don't see why he would. And I might look at something else that you do and say, I don't understand how he can do that and still feel right before the Lord. The Lord reserves a right to deal with every one of us individually. He knows those things that have the propensities to cause me to sin, to cause me to go down the wrong way. If I choose to take it down the path, I can pursue anything that would in and of itself be innocent and make it a sin to me. If I start to invade the rights of others, if I start to trample on my children, my family, because I want this, I want the clothes, I want the toys, I want the nice things. If I start to do those kinds of things, folks, whatever your hobby is, you like to fish? There's nothing wrong with fishing. In and of itself, there's not a thing wrong with fishing. But if I have to have the finest rod and reel, and my children can't have the things they need to go to school, but I've got the finest rod and reel hanging on a rack, there's something wrong with that picture. There's something wrong with that picture. The Scripture says in James, the first chapter, twelfth verse, blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Do not err, my beloved brethren. That's what happened with this young man. He erred. Along the way, he allowed those things to start working in his mind. I want my portion. The dad says, son, I hope you do well. And the Lord, he went out and didn't do well. He wasted all of it. He didn't act moderate. He didn't act temperate. Those things started working in him incrementally along the way, and it grew up to be something that at some point he found himself down in that hog pen, and I don't have enough to eat, and I have no place to sleep. And if I could just do it, I would go back to my father and say, I'll be your hired servant. I'm thankful, folks, that there is a remedy for it all. There is a remedy for that type of conduct. There's a remedy for that type of pursuing in life. There is a remedy for that, because there came a time, and I would to God it would happen more often in people's lives, that they would respond, and when the Lord comes across their path and lets them see that, why would you do this kinds of thing? Why would you pursue this to the nth degree? Why would you pursue this to the point to where other people are suffering? You say you're happy. You say you're enjoying it. Can you really enjoy it when other people are suffering? It takes a real deep amount of selfishness to be able to be happy or think you're happy when what you do causes other people to suffer. But I said to you, it's not very likely that we woke up one day and said, you know what? I want to pursue this course. I want to go fishing today, so I think I will. And I go out and I go fishing, and I cast the line, and I feel the tug on the end of that line, and that's a sensation that feels so good. So I'm going to go fishing tomorrow. And I'm going to go fishing the next day. And I'm going to go fishing the next day. And the next thing you know, I'm not going to work because I want to go fishing there. I'm calling in sick. I'm using all my time that I had, could have time to spend with my family, to go fishing. And not only do I do that, I'm taking what money I do have and saying, I want more lures. I want the best tackle. I want the best equipment. Those kinds of things. We don't just wake up one day and say, this is what I'm going to pursue. It happens in small increments. But it ends up, if we're not careful, it ends up on the same path. Every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. And when that follows through to the absolute completion, folks, it brings forth sin. And sin, when it's finished, brings forth death. The remedy to this was, the young man had another revelation. He said, I'm hungry and I'm thirsty and I'm sleepy, and all I have is to want to eat with these pigs. But my father has hired hands that have plenty to eat and more, and they have a place to sleep, and I am down here perishing with this hunger. I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to go back to my father. I'm going to turn around. I'm going to go back to him. And I'm going to say, Dad, I wasted it. I wasted my opportunity. I didn't handle it right. I treated you wrong. I disrespected you. I disrespected the family. I disrespected God. But now I want to come back to you and say, you know, Dad, you were right. And here's something else we need to be careful about. That when or if that situation happens to you or any of us, that we not say, see, I told you so. It's not a time to say, see, I told you so. Because with this situation, what the father did, I don't know. In my mind's eye, if I'm thinking that was a situation with one of my children, I'd be looking out every day to see, are they coming home? Have they made up their mind to turn around and come back? If they'll just come back, I'll gladly have a place for them to stay. I'll gladly make room for them. And that's what this father did for this young man. When he turned around and he made a decision to start going back, he had to make some incremental changes even to go back, because there had to be an awakening to the realization of what it is I have done. I've allowed myself to get in this place. And the only way to make it back is I've got to start mending some fences and building some bridges to get back to favor with where I used to be and what I had. I think of those things. I remember when I'm down here in this pig pen and I'm eating this husk that these swine eat. And I think about the things that were back at Father's house on the table there that the servants fixed up. I want to go back home. It takes a waking up and a realization that it's called counting the cost. It's called being willing to consider doing the right thing. It's what the Scripture says. When a man figures out, I'm going to build a tower, I've got to first sit down and figure out how much is it going to cost to build. Do I have the equipment on hand to do it? And if so, I'm going to embark on that process. This young man said, I know what I'll do. I'll go back. That's what I'll do. Thank God, he said, I'll go back. And when he went back, the father saw him coming and he ran to meet him. He embraced him. He kissed him. He was glad to have him back. He threw a feast, said, our son I thought was dead, he's alive, he's been found, and here he is. And the younger brother said, what is all this about? I've stayed right here with you all this time. He went down there and he wasted everything he had. He took advantage of you. He left us high and dry. We didn't have enough help. He took off. He spent it all. And now he comes back and you're throwing him a big party. And the father said, son, all that I have is yours. Everything that is on this place is yours. All you ever had. You never threw a party for me. You never had anything like this for me and my friends. All you had to do, son, all you had to do is come and ask. It was all here. Your younger brother came to me and said, Father, give me the portion that belongs to me. All you had to do is come to me and ask. And I would have done the same for you. Do you know, folks, that if we're not careful, when someone that has been steeped so deeply in sin, we ought to be very thankful when they turn around and make a decision to come back. We ought to be very thankful. But if we're not careful, we can have the same kind of attitude that this young man had. How is it that a person can go do all those kinds of things and they think they can turn around and come back? Turn around and come back. The father said to him, His elder son was in the field, and as he came and drew nigh to the house, he heard music and dancing. He called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. He said unto him, thy brother is come, and thy father hath killed the fatted calf, because he hath received him safe and sound. He was angry and would not go in. Therefore came his father out and entreated him. And he answering said to his father, lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgressed I at any time thy commandment. And yet thou never gavest me a kid that I might make merry with my friends. Let's think about what this young man said. He said, Father, I've been there all these years. I've served thee. I never left the place. I didn't transgress thy commandment, but you never did for me these kinds of things. Do you know this young man was dangerously treading a path of being in a situation to fall down the same path that his brother did? Because he had an attitude of heart that I stayed here for all of these things and you never did this for me. It was starting to become something that was selfish in his own mind, some bitterness, some anger in his own heart, that he was starting to have some resentment to build up. If he wasn't careful, the father was trying to entreat him, wasn't careful, he was going to take the same path that his brother did. Not maybe go down there and eat with the swine, but incrementally allow that root of bitterness to spring up in his heart and thereby many be defiled. It has to start a process somewhere. It has to have a beginning somewhere. When that root of bitterness starts to spring up, many be defiled. The father was trying to prevent that here, but this young man was about to allow that to happen. Another one of those situations. It's doubtful that he woke up one day and said, if my brother ever comes back down this road, I'm going to be angry at my father because he's going to receive him into his arms openly. No, but it happens. If we're not careful by flirting with, being familiar with, entertaining those different thoughts and ideas, they can find a lodging place. But as soon as this thy son was come, which hath devoured thy living with harlot, thou hast killed for him the fatted calf. He said to him, son, thou art ever with me. All that I have is thine. It was meet that we should make merry and be glad, for this thy brother was dead, is alive again, and was lost, and is found. I said to you at the beginning that there are things in and of themselves that are not sin. There are things in and of themselves that are innocent. But if we begin to pursue any one of those little things to the fullest, if I start putting the exponent behind it, if I start making it my utmost aim to pursue that thing in life, oh, I could go down a list of things, folks, that I've seen over the years where people have made shipwreck because the thing that they started off with had a right motive and a right idea and a right spirit behind it, but because of a lack of moderation and a lack of temperance along the way, that thing began to overtake them and consume them. It possessed them. It became their utmost thing in life. They were going to do it. I will do it. I want this thing. Too many times that happens along the way. Too many times people make shipwreck because of it. Too many times there are people that suffer over it. Too many times there are families that are separated because somebody chose to pursue their own selfish thoughts and ideas. And the pain is multiplied over and over and over again. I thank the Lord, folks, there is the remedy. There's a remedy. Father wants to receive everyone. It says, it's not His will that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And I'll close with this scripture, very familiar scripture. It's John 3:16. Let's think about it. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Now I'm going to back up on that just a little bit. For God, who is God? The Creator of all. The One that holds everything in His hands. The One that holds life in His hands. The One that gives you your breath. The One that gives you the ability to exist. God so loved this world that He gave, God gave, God, the God of all creation, the God of this universe, the God that has all power, He looked down upon the needs of mankind and He gave His only begotten Son. That whosoever, and that means you and me, whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. That reaches to that sinner that has caused so much damage in his home, so much damage to his family, so much damage to society, so much damage because of selfishness and his own pursuing his own desires, that reaches to that one. Folks, let's pray for the lost. Let's pray for those who have done those kinds of things to people's lives, that the Lord would have mercy on them and save their souls. And let's pray for one another. And let's not forget, we need to pray for ourselves. Amen. I appreciate your time and attention this evening.